Lord, we thank you that we have the opportunity just to be in your presence, God. Thank you that we know because of your word, Lord, that where we come together in your name, that you are with us, that you are here. And Father, I pray that you would come and, Lord, just breathe and speak through the words that I have on my heart this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would, you know, just plant seeds, Lord, seeds that will produce after its own kind, Lord, that it won't just be my words, but, Lord, that your truth will speak louder than my words can ever speak. And I just thank you, God, for times in your presence. Thank you that there's refreshing in your presence, God. And we thank you that we can come here and, Lord, with liberty, just lift up your name and give all praises due to your name, Lord. And we're just so thankful for all that you've done in us, Lord God, and what you'll continue to do through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Just get organized. Everybody good? Okay, happy? Great. My title, Praise Habit. You could probably call it a culture of praise or a culture of thanksgiving or gratitude or appreciation. That's kind of basically what I'd like to share. Now, most of you probably are aware of kind of our journey as a family over the last year. And I really just want to share what I believe God is and is still busy kind of training and teaching me and has been through this season. About two years ago, 2011, was that 2 years? Yeah. I was made redundant. So the last 2 years have probably been the most challenging in my life. Now I had a look and kind of on the list of the most stressful things in your life, like losing your job was one of them, and then moving house is another one. We've done that 21 times this year. And bereavement is another one. My mom passed away in March this year. And then your firstborn or the first baby apparently also adds to a bit of stress. So I experienced all of those in 2 years. So, you know, where the redundancy is concerned, you know, I could be spiritual and, you know, stand here and tell you that, you know, God prepared me, which he did. So it could have been worse, but it hits you like a steam train when, you know, and it was just one of those things where, you know, the role was made redundant, not necessarily, you know, not me, but the role. But the point being, in the same year, Olivia was born, was made redundant. Next year, we did this whole moving thing, and, you know, starting your own business is quite stressful as well, and. So the list goes on. And what I realize is that how prone we are, our default setting is very sort of towards the negative, isn't it? It's so easy to just see everything that's wrong as opposed to, you know, and some people are kind of more positive than others, you know, other people are kind of very negative and others are very positive. But the point is, I think our natural tendency is very much kind of towards the wrong and what's missing and what still needs to happen. And so I think the penny kind of dropped for me when, quite recently actually, when we applied for our naturalization, and there we were, Joe and I and Olivia, sitting in our checking, we were doing the checking service, so we were sitting there and, you know, going through the forms and but as we're going through this, I'm just like stressing myself to like a pulp. It's ridiculous. So I left there feeling, I was just mad at the whole world. I don't know why I was mad, I was just like cross. And Joe was the opposite. She was so positive and so, you know, like she had such a an expectation that, no, everything will be fine. And I didn't know, you know, we were in the same meeting. You know, it's not like I was in a different meeting to her meeting. And I just realized that, you know, it's actually when I realized the progression that kind of brought me to kind of seeing all the things that might go wrong. It's not even that it went wrong. It's just my expectation was for it, you know, it might go pear-shaped, it might go wrong, we might not get this. And that's the only thing that I was trying to be positive, but that didn't really help. So I realized that, you know, the importance of just being thankful and making a point of looking at what is going your way, making a point of, you know, what God is doing, what he has done. And it's so easy to, you know, just sit and complain. I mean, I often think of, you know, the well-known story about God that sent Moses to release the Israelites, you know, from Egypt. And there they were, you know, a massive amount of people. God opened the Red Sea. They went through the Red Sea, you know, manna from the air, you know, bread, a pillar of fire by night for crying out loud, a cloud by day, and still somehow they just complained. I was like, but it's so us, isn't it? Or maybe it's just me. But I just saw such a comparison between, you know, how easy it is, unless I make a concerted effort to start thanking God and to start cultivating a culture of thankfulness and a culture of thanksgiving. And that's basically just what I want to share around. And Psalm 100 verse 4, if you can put that up, Louis, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." And that's, you know, just realized again the power there is in thanksgiving to not only change your life, but to change the lives of people around you. You know, we know what it is to be around someone that's positive. You know, it affects you, doesn't it? Likewise, someone that's negative, it affects you negatively, doesn't it? And I just realized, you know, the power there is in thanksgiving. And like the scripture says, and that's, you know, that's why we sing songs of praise. That's all point of it. In fact, the Message Bible says, if you can put that up, it says, "Enter with a password, thank you. Make yourselves home, talking praise, worship him." Quite nicely put. So it's a password. Obviously, we know on a computer, you know, if you type the wrong password, you ain't getting anywhere, are you? In the same way, this is why and this is how we enter into God's presence. Now, I realize the more I study around praise and thanksgiving, and it's interchangeable. So praise is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, you know, is praise. So if we sing songs like we did this morning, it doesn't necessarily have to, you know, have the word thank you in there to be thanksgiving, if that makes sense. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And as I say, the more I look into it, the more I study, I realize that we can only effectively worship if we effectively praise. And the definition for praise is basically to speak well of, obviously in our case, God, you know, basically for what he's done and for what he and for who he is. So for what he's done and for who he is. So to speak well of that person. So, you know, we can obviously praise other people. You can praise your wife or your husband or your children. So you're speaking well of them when you praise them, you know, for what they've done and just for who they are. And that's what we do when we praise God. And the word appreciation, which is also comes from the same word as praise and thanksgiving, it basically means, it comes from a Latin word that means to price or prize. So it basically talks about, you know, putting worth or adding value to someone or something. And it's the same as praise. So when we do that, we're actually adding value. And we're saying, by praising someone or something, we're adding value or we're adding worth to that person. So obviously, when we're praising God, that's what we're doing. We're adding value, we're adding worth to who he is. And there's a scripture in, I think, Psalms 22. I don't think it's on there. Verse 3, I think. Let me just see. I wrote it down here. Psalm 22, verse 3. It says, God inhabits the praises of his people. The Amplifier talks about he dwells in the place where praises are offered. And that's why it's important to praise. And a little bit later, we'll look at, you know, what that kind of looks like, in terms of our context. So, as I said, praise and appreciation, it means, you know, that you're adding value and worth to something or someone. Now, we all know when you're thinking about selling your house, actually the word appraisal comes from the word appreciation comes from it means an appraisal. So we know that when we thinking about selling our house or refinancing or whatever, you get someone in to do an appraisal on your house, right? So either it goes up in value or it goes down in value. And obviously we hope that, you know, it goes up in value, unlike a car, you know, when you drive it off, that's pretty much downhill from there. But so when we praise God or when we show our appreciation, that's adding value and adding worth to God. And I remember growing up in a church, I was pretty much born into this church. My dad was pastoring the church, and I remember growing up just how vibrant that church was in terms of, you know, just people coming in and being thankful. And I mean, it's easy to spot, isn't it? In fact, there's a scripture that talks about praise that's perfected in the mouths of babes. And, you know, it's not necessarily talking about children, but it's talking about newborn believers, basically. And the reason is because, you know, when we're newly saved, we're so excited, aren't we? Because, like, the life that we've been saved from is so close, and we're so full of gratitude. And then, you know, somewhere along the line, we kind of still thankful and gratitude, but we don't always show that appreciation, do we? And that's why I believe the word says it's perfected in the mouths of babes. And so, you know, when it comes to cultivating a lifestyle of praise or having a praise habit, as I call it, initially it is an effort, isn't it? I mean, I certainly don't roll out of bed and I feel like singing on a Sunday. Sometimes feel like that, but probably 50% not. So, you know, you come and you make a decision to praise God. And of course, you know, it's, I suppose, easy when I have to do it. But during the week, when the rubber hits the road, that's when I realized I'm falling short. I'm actually not living a life of thanksgiving. You know, I'm kind of grateful, but I'm not living a life of appreciation. And what we'll see later is that praise or thanksgiving or gratitude, it's you know, it's not just a feeling. It's an action. It's outward. So what I want to just have a look at, first of all, is, like I've been saying, the fact that it should be a lifestyle. Psalm 95, verse 1 to 2 says, "Come, let's shout praises to God. Let's raise the roof of the rock who saved us. Let's march into his presence singing praises, lifting the rafters with our hymns." But coming back to the church that I grew up in, so as I was growing up, like in my teenage years, it was so vibrant. People were singing and dancing and really just, you know, bringing their praises and their worship to God. And as I grew older, kind of towards my high school years, it just kind of, we had this digression of, you know, where it was to the point where people were sitting during praise. And it just kind of made me think that how do you, the same people, not, weren't different people, how do you get from being so thankful and showing it to, you know, sitting during praise, especially? And I just realized it's, you know, when we get caught up in this culture. I heard Boris Johnson a few weeks ago say that greed is a good thing. And it's such, that's the spirit of the world, isn't it? Like the more you have, the more you want. And that's kind of the essence of what greed is. It's dissatisfaction. So I don't actually have enough of what I've got. And I mean, you know, I guess we can call it discontentment or whatever you want to call it. But the fact is, God wants us to establish this lifestyle of praise. So praising in all things, at all times, in every situation. And like I say, this is something I'm learning as we speak. So I'm just kind of sharing out of my experience. I mean, it's so nice, to say the least. You know, when driving in your car, and you know, two lanes become one, and you know, it's kind of people are generally quite good in this country, you know, for allowing you in, and you know, then just give kind of a hand of acknowledgement. But it's quite annoying when that hand doesn't come. You know, when you let someone in, and there's no hand of appreciation there. Hey, or is it just me? It's very annoying. But when it comes, you know, you kind of, you feel good about yourself, and it, you know, it's kind of life-giving, isn't it? And I really believe appreciation, you know, has power, a life-giving power, not only in our relationship with God, but with others. And, you know, I'm just so convicted when it comes to, and I guess you learn so much when you become a parent and, you know, start raising children and all that. And I realized with Olivia, certainly, and I believe with most, all children for that matter, you know, if I keep on focusing on the negative and what's wrong, I'm going to crush that little spirit in no time. You know, but if I cultivate, again, a habit or a culture of praising and of, you know, thanksgiving, then what's not wrong is actually like small things. And so giving thanks at all times, in all things, Ephesians 5 verse 20, it says, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, even if you don't get that wave of acknowledgement, thank you for, you know, letting me in. I must say, in South Africa, it's a different story. You kind of go with that expectation, it's not going to happen. So, you know, there's no kind of false expectations there. Psalms 34, verse 1 says a similar thing. "I will bless the Lord." I will bless the Lord. Look at that. "At all times." So it's a decision. "His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Easier said than done, but it can be done. And like I say, you know, praise and just having that attitude and spirit of appreciation or thanksgiving. You know, the Bible says that praise is sometimes a sacrifice, but it's not always, doesn't have to always be a sacrifice. Sometimes it is, but it's not often, and it's not always a sacrifice. And 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 3, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made known to all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a peaceable life in all goodness, in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. So it's a good thing. And if you want to lead a peaceable life, then let's cultivate this lifestyle of praise. Number two, it's not actually optional. It's interesting that when it comes to God's commandments, that it's never because He is kind of God and, you know, you need to worship Him, so I'm going to tell you what to do. It's always for our benefit. It's always for our good. Again, that scripture that I quoted earlier in Psalm 22, verse 3, it says God inhabits or dwells in the praises of His people. And that's certainly what I want. I mean, I enjoy singing, but if God doesn't come through my singing, then I'm really not interested, to be quite honest. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says, rejoice always, in everything give thanks or show appreciation, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So it's actually the will of God that we do this, that we give thanks. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 3, the next scripture, therefore I exhort, we read that just now, didn't we? So for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. Paul talks about being bound to give thanks. And that word bound actually means to be under obligation to give thanks. And he's obviously talking about, you know, again, this lifestyle of thanksgiving. You know, it starts with the people around us, doesn't it? It starts with we will change our families and this church and this community if we start celebrating, if we start living lives of gratitude and thankfulness towards each other, as opposed to... I was thinking the other day that, you know, they say this is a dark continent and all that kind of stuff, and I was thinking there's no lack of praise in this place. You can go to a rugby stadium or a football stadium and praise is happening in a big way. And if you can get that in church, then I think we'll transform this continent. Or if we can get that praise shifted towards God, then it'll transform this whole place. I really believe that. So, you know, let's not despise kind of where we're at now, and let's not despise the power that we have right here, right now, when it comes to shifting and bringing that offering of praise and that offering of thanksgiving. And, you know, let's come with that expectation that I will enter your gates with thanksgiving and I will come into your courts with praise. And God, He doesn't need our praises. You know, he knows who He is. But as any father, as any parent, It just breathes life in that relationship, and it just draws God to his people if we come with that attitude of appreciation. And like I said earlier, you know, it means adding value. So every time we praise, whether it's here or whether it's, you know, wherever we are, if we offer that thanksgiving, we're adding value and worth to the one that we praise. And we're actually saying we lift you higher and higher. And there's a song that we sing that says, you are the highest and you're the greatest. And then we say, lifting you high, higher and higher, lifting you high. And yes, God is the ultimate authority. But by our praises, that is what we're doing. We're lifting him like a banner over this, over our circumstances, over this area, over the city. That's what we're doing. We're just lifting it and adding worth. The more we do it, the more worth we add. The more we do it, the more value we add to the name of Jesus. And John 12, verse 32 says, when Jesus is lifted up, he will draw men to himself. And that to me is so amazing. And I've always had that expectation, I guess. And I remember it's happened a few times where we practice as a worship team, and I remember just kind of praying and with the scripture in mind that, you know, God would even though it's a practice, God would draw people because of his presence, because we are praising his name and he inhabits the praises of his people. And it's happened so many, many times that like random people just walk into the place that we're practicing, and they didn't really know why they were there, but they, you know, they were just drawn to music. And I mean, we're not, you know, professional musicians, but I know why they're there, because of the presence of God. Because I mean, the world does not, they don't have what we have, and often, you know, we take for granted what we have. And I mean, certainly, I guess for someone like me that's grown up in a church, and you kind of, you know, you're thankful and grateful, and you kind of, you know, there comes a point where you kind of get used to how things are, you know, and what praise is and what it looks like, and so you kind of settle in that sort of culture, if you will. But it's so easy to just grow cold and not show that appreciation. So not to keep it in a sense fresh, like David, the psalmist says in Psalm 103, I think he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And then he says, "Forget not all his benefits," and we forget, don't we? Unless we make a point of remember what God has done. And again, back to the Israelites, you know. There they were, walking through the wilderness, cloud of fire by night, cloud by day. So there it is. It's not even in the past. It's like, it's there. You know, they could see God's faithfulness right there in their face. They're eating the manna and going big, and yet they choose essentially to look at everything. And the Bible says no one got sick or died or anything, did they? And yet somehow we find a way to focus on the negative and everything that goes wrong. It's quite interesting. Romans 1 verse 8. First I thank my God through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 4. I thank God always. Again, same theme, thanking God always in everything. And of course, it is easier said than done. You know, when the rubber hits the road, when you lose your job, you know, when someone close to you dies, you know, whatever the thing is that we face in this world, the amazing reality is that God does not change. So there's always reason to give thanks and to give praise. One scripture says, put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So it's something we sometimes have to put on. You know, if we're feeling weary or heavy, or, you know, sometimes it's, we need to put that garment on. So we make a decision to do it. Colossians 3 verse 15 in the Message, it says, let the peace of God keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And there it is again, cultivate thankfulness. Number 3, I mentioned it earlier, it's physical, it's tangible, it's external. I mean, we know, you know, if your lovely wife or husband, you know, prepares this amazing meal, and you know, you're very thankful in your heart, but you don't actually say thank you. That's not going to go down very well, is it? So it's physical, it's tangible, and. You know, the difference between praise and worship is that praise, and we'll have a look at it in a moment, but praise is verbal. It is outward. It's public. It's loud. It's seen. And we know it to be true in personal relationships, don't we? And again, there is so much praise happening in the football stadiums, in the rugby stadiums, or wherever. And as soon as you bring what happens there, in terms of what it looks like, as soon as you bring it into church, then people class it as, no, that's a happy clappy church, or that's the, you know, that's a, they give us all sorts of titles. But it's just very interesting, isn't it? I mean, it's no different in how it looks in terms of the loudness and, you know, clapping hands and shouting and all that kind of stuff. But as soon as you bring it into church, then it's the happy clappy church. It's interesting. I've had the opportunity to lead worship in, you know, quite a few places, even around the world. But it's interesting that people are like very chatty before church and, you know, very happy. But as soon as the music starts and everyone's like they saw a ghost. You know, oh, happy day, happy day. No happiness. It's just so amusing, actually. I mean, you know, I'm not judging at all. Please hear me. I'm not judging. I just know there's a place that God wants to bring us to that starts with just cultivating this lifestyle of thanksgiving. You know, I remember when before I was leading worship and before I was doing this worship thing, yes, I had a hard time lifting my hands. It was kind of you kind of, you know, start by maybe swaying or maybe tapping your foot. And then you kind of, you know, progress to the penguin dance, you know, and then you kind of move up in the world, you know what I mean? And then eventually you kind of get your hand above your shoulder, and you know, so God has been gracious to me. Yeah, you know, I'm not the looking at someone that's not the most expressive in the world. You know, you kind of get loads of natural stagers, performers and dancers and all that kind of stuff. But God is wanting us to come back to being free. You know, He set us free, and free people are free. You know, and if it helps, let's, I don't know, make this place dark, and you know, let's not put the focus on ourselves. just to get us freed up, just to get us to not be self-conscious, because it's, you know, it's a natural thing to be self-conscious. I was certainly like that, you know, and I'm to some degree still. I constantly have to remind myself, okay, this is why you're here. You're not here for people around you. But we grow in that. So that's, you know, that's why God's commandments aren't grievous, as the Bible says. You know, he kind of nudges us into the direction that he wants for us. So he doesn't walk around and say, well, if you don't jump up and down and dance right now, then, you know, tickets, go, next door. You know, he's not like that. So it's physical, it's tangible, and external. And we'll have a look at what praise specifically looks like. Psalm 34, verse 5, New King James says, those who look to him are radiant, their faces are never covered with shame. I think we've got the message translation there. Look at him, give him your warmest smile. Look at that. Never hide. I like that scripture. Never hide your feelings from him. It's like one battle that I've had with the worship teams that I've worked with. I just need to remind them, smile when you're up there singing. Like someone said, that's like the biggest gap known to man. It's like, you know, from here, we're like very happy in ourselves, but to like just show our face, to tell our face that we're happy. So, you know, so it is external. Look at him, give him your warmest smile. And then number four says act. It's an act of generosity. I mean, when you think about it, it is having like a generous spirit, isn't it? It's giving. Thanksgiving means thanksgiving. You know, thanks is giving. And I guess if we find ourselves in a place where we find it hard to, you know, praise someone or esteem someone or lift someone up or, you know, thank someone, then it's probably because we are perhaps too consumed by our stuff and what's going on in our lives. And so let's cultivate and form this habit to where it becomes just a natural thing. And I mean, like with all habits, kind of start with a decision if you think about it. You know, so let's decide to live our lives acting generously with our thanksgiving and our gratefulness. And then, as I said earlier, it speaks life into a relationship. Like I mentioned with Olivia, I guess that's the closest to home and the closest example that I can think of. You know, because we've been moving 21 times, we've been in 21 homes, essentially different homes. You know, naturally you find yourself having different boundaries, do you? Because it's someone else's place. So obviously if you're in your own home, you kind of establish those boundaries and, you know, she knows that's the no-touchy area and that's the, you know, you can go big on that area and. But now if you're in a different place, kind of have to establish different boundaries. Okay, don't, you know, touch there. Don't jump on this couch and. But I just realized I'm so prone to, you know, like just seeing the wrong stuff and the negatives and not deciding to focus and to praise and to thank more than I'm focusing on the negative. And I realized that once I swapped that around, I mean, it's so life-giving to any relationship, isn't it? I mean, again, you know, whether it's you to your children or to your spouse, or, you know, your colleagues or whatever, it's amazing how just being generous like that, how that draws people, how it draws just others around you. It's just amazing. It just brings light and life, and it literally injects it into whatever relationship you're in. Second Thessalonians 1:3-4. I don't know if it's on there. But I'll read it for you. And just listen to how specific Paul is in just his thankfulness and his generosity in terms of his appreciation. He says, you need to know, friends, that thanking God over and over for you is not only a pleasure, it's a must. We have to do it. Your faith is growing phenomenally. Your love for each other is developing wonderfully. Why, it's only right that we give thanks. We're so proud of you. You're so steady and determined in your faith despite all the hard times that you have come, that have come down on you. We tell everyone we meet in the churches about you. Your faith is growing phenomenally. Your love for each other is developing wonderfully. We are so proud of you. It's amazing how specific he is in his appreciation and his thanksgiving. You know, and let's cultivate that within our families, within our church. You know, even if it's not due, let's be generous in our giving of thanks and giving, and especially, you know, as far as our praise goes towards God, keeping in mind that as we do it, we're adding worth. We're basically putting, in a manner of speaking, our money where our mouths are, putting and adding our worth and our value to who God is. So let's just look at a few expressions of praise when it comes to our praise towards God specifically. In Psalm 134, it talks about lifting hands. So that's why we lift our hands. It's just an outward expression of our praise. Psalm 149 verse 3 says dancing, talks about dancing. Clapping of hands and making a joyful noise. Psalm 47 verse 1, it says, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. A joyful shout. Psalm 66 verse 1, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Psalm 81 verse 1, sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to God of Jacob. A public declaration. And that's again why we gather together like we do. Psalm 40 verse 10, I've not hidden your righteousness from my heart. I've declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I've not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Psalm 153 verse 5 says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the trumpet and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Musical instruments. Like drums were designed to be loud. Lifting of hands and bowing down. Nehemiah 8 verse 6. Musical instruments and accompanying singing. 2 Chronicles 5:12. And the best example probably is in 2 Samuel 6:14, where King David were dancing and rejoicing before the Lord in his underwear. He couldn't care less. He was just going mad because he was giving and offering his praise to God. And Michael, his wife, wasn't too happy by that. But he wasn't too worried about that because he was getting his praise on and bringing in the presence of God. You know, so if we And I'm speaking to myself, you know, if we want the presence of God, and now we know, you know, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere, always, at all times. But if we want God to come and abide with us, and if we want God to dwell amongst us, let's cultivate a culture and a habit of praise and thanksgiving towards who He is and what He's done, you know, to others and to God Himself. So that's, in a nutshell, what praise, what the definition is. We're excited and we speak well of Him to God or to each other. And that's what, you know, that's why we share testimonies. It's a powerful thing because it draws God and it puts the attention on Him. Remember, I mentioned it before, hallelujah. The word hallelujah literally means to put a spotlight on God. And that's what we do through our praise. You know, I think if we could see in the spirit what praise does, I think we'd be amazed. But let's cultivate, you know, just on a sort of a natural level. Let's cultivate with each other, within your families, you know, wherever you find yourself. Let's cultivate just a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness and celebration, you know, for each other and for what God is doing and even for what He's still going to do. There's a scripture that talks about making known your supplications with thanksgiving. In other words, you're already thanking God for what's yet to be, for what's yet to come. And yeah, just as we close, just with this in mind, I'd like us to perhaps just sing, you know, sing a few more songs. You know, and as I said, there's no pressure. There's no, don't feel a heavy if you're not yet comfortable with shouting or lifting your hands or dancing or, you know, going wild. But this is, I believe God wants to get us to dance again, you know, metaphorically speaking and kind of physically speaking, you know, to get back to that place of just full abandonment before Him. Because free people are free. And it's amazing the story of the prodigal son, right, where he asked his father for his inheritance and then went off and blew it all. And then came back and his dad threw a party. You know, there wasn't like a long counseling session, or his dad was just so happy that he was back. And he threw a party. So he expected him to party. He expected him to dance and to celebrate, because what was lost was now found. You know, and often, again, it's so easy to you know, and even in our discipleship, let's make our focus celebration of people. Because God's heart is towards people. And, you know, whatever needs to come in line, those are small compared to what God is doing. Because what God is doing is big. And what God is doing is glorious. And the work that He has begun, He will finish. So, I'm just going to pray, if you don't mind standing. And then, Louise, if you can join. Ellie, if you can join. Jan Louis, can you put up? I think it was Psalm 95, 1 to 2, please. Come, let's shout praises to God. Let's raise the roof for the rock who saved us. Let's march into his presence, singing praises, lifting the rafters with our hymns or with our songs. So God, we thank you that, Lord, you have done a great thing in our lives. We thank you, God, that you are the God of our salvation. We thank you that you saved us out of darkness into the light. Lord, we thank you for your goodness that has no end. We thank you that you are good and that you do not change. And we thank you for the privilege, God, of just lifting our praises to you.